Hello, everyone. This is Glenda, and I'm here a couple of minutes early, but I thought I'd just go ahead and give you a welcome and say a few words so you know that we're here, we're live, and we have some conversations in the background that I think might want to have stayed private. So we switched into the Q&A mode. And that gives me a good opportunity to, first of all, thank you that you've been sending in your requests for blessings. I've gotten them all. My time has been very, very precious and very limited lately. So I'm trusting that you know I'm getting it and you're on my list. And we're going to remember you today and your loved ones. Wherever you are, whatever the situation is. And I really love having those in writing because it helps me to remember you and your loved ones during the week when I also offer prayers and blessings. And you're not on the phone to remind me. So it really adds up to my weekly agenda. And I love doing that. I love having targeted audiences that I know will receive and appreciate the blessings. And I'm just kind of warming up the room right now. We're not ready to get started because I don't actually want to start until 3 o'clock because that's when people expect to be here and people in other parts of the world are tuning in, whether spiritually, psychically, or on the phone. We have callers from a lot of places. So we are now at the 3 o'clock. So again, welcome. And this will hopefully be a very full and delightful day for us visiting together and then receiving the blessing because it's not officially summer. But in, at least in our part of the world, it's summer. When the first day of June comes around, baby, it's summer. We get those nice little heat waves and a few rains that cool them down. And we're ready for the pool and our swimming togs or the lake and our fishing bowl or skis or whatever we do in the summer. And down where I live, a lot of people spend their summers outdoors, outdoors on the lake, in the fields, in the hills, by the beach, or wherever nature takes them, not to mention that a goodly number of square feet is typical in any house down south for the backyard porch. Backyard living. It's like the real living room is outside the walls of the house, usually paved with concrete or stone and a built-in barbecue pit, a place for a refrigerator and a television and all the things that go into making sweet recreational living for the warm weather climate. So I know where a lot of you are right now, at least the ones of you down south, and the rest of you, well, I'm going to continue wishing you a happy springtime because this is the time of growth, expansion, and development. I love the spring. The weather's not always perfect in the spring because nature goes through some turbulent cycles generating its next phase of life and creation and bringing it forth often includes a mixture of air currents at the high altitudes, which brings unseasonable rains and storms. But we can learn from that. And that an important thing to learn is that creativity is not the same as craftsmanship. A craftsman will sit down quietly at a bench to do whatever he or she loves to do, and make sure somebody else is taking care of the kids. So there's a minimum of distraction. Turns on some kind of filtration system to keep the air current and fresh and gentle. Maybe play some music and hope for a peaceful, lovely time of doing whatever craft they came to do. Well, real creativity is, not to say that's not creative, it is, but the kind of creativity that we put in textbooks and rolls of honor usually come under a storm of disturbance, transition, conflict, and, well, abiding faith in the process. Now, that being said, I'm leading up to something very positive. And what's very positive needs to be prefaced with what something typically is negative. We are living in those kinds of times. We're living in times that can be turbulent, conflicting, raging with wind and uncertainty, and people just throwing their hands up and saying, okay, I've had it with this. I'm going inside. You know, that sort of thing. Well, I want to forecast that on the other side of all this unease and disruption of pleasantness that you're seeing around you is going to be some phenomenal creativity. That's the way springtime is. I think we're actually in the springtime of something very, very new. And some of, especially our young people, always like to be in front stride of everything because they're young. You know, they want to lead forth. Like, okay, we're the new kid on the block. We'll tell you guys what's coming next. But, of course, they haven't had very much experience. So they don't really know what's coming next. But they're part of the energy. And the ideas that sometimes we scratch our heads about or just go, well, give me a break on that. You know, we're uncomfortable with as the oldies in the pack. But they're just a canary in the mine shaft. They're sending a message that it's time to let the old fade away. It's time for some powerful, amazing new creativity, bringing forth a wonderful and splendid new possibility in our human fellowship. So let's look at the bright side. Let's learn that lesson from spring. Even though the storms can be very turbulent, uneasy, flooding, too much of this, too much of that. But the reason it's too much is because life is coming forth again. Life is bursting up through the crust of the earth, through the seams of the trees as new limbs come out. And I was thinking over this deeply in the last few days about the power of life. And one of the things that that really stood out for me is that life is our intelligence. It really is. Life is truly our intelligence. You've heard, you've heard Yeshua say, let the dead bury the dying. Well, it's because only the dead see value in the dying. Everyone else is focusing on life. There's another passage in the New Testament, and I meant to look it up exactly where it was, but those of you who are Bible students will know. And it says, The dead know nothing. It's a simple passage. The dead know nothing. If you want to Google it, you can find it. All right? And it is in the New Testament. And that was Yeshua's really admonishing the search for wisdom in through augury, that is, asking their relatives who've gone on above for advice. And he said, no, the dead know nothing. Well, it's not that when you die, you get stupid. Of course you don't. You receive a whole new enlightenment because you've received a new recharge of life, but it's a recharge of life on a different level. And a very good example of that are people who've gone to the other side in near-death experiences. They come back brighter than a new penny, shining with the glory of what they understand. Can't wait to share it. They are full of life, and then they try to go back to their job and they can't do it. What happened? Well, they got hoovered from the experience of life that brought their intelligence at this level. Sure, they can get it again if they really want to, but most of them don't want to because they received a higher life. And in that higher life was a new brilliance. So at whatever place we go, as long as we're alive, when we're alive, that's when we're really, really smart. Have you ever gone to a movie and it touched you deeply? And it brought you alive in the movie. And you knew you were going to leave that theater and be able to change the world. Well, you go back out in the world and, well, it doesn't make sense anymore. Why? Because you go back into the world and you've transitioned into an older paradigm of life. The one you brought into the movie theater. And that older paradigm of life doesn't have the answers. Well, what I'm building up to is that Yeshua said, follow life and the living if you want to be successful. Now, following life and the living means you may have to look beyond what's comfortable for you. You may have to open yourself up to meet and greet and get to know some people or some situations you previously didn't feel comfortable with, but maybe you need to, because finding new life is where you find new answers. Finding new life brings you more blessings. And part of that is don't go back and do the same old things again. There were several times when Yeshua performed miracles on people. And he would acknowledge always that their faith was a very important part of those blessings, those miracles. But then he would add to it, now don't go back and do the same old thing again. Okay? He was telling them, just don't go back. Go forward. Go make up with your brother and then move on forward, but don't go back. Don't go back to what caused you to fall out with your brother. In other words, go forgive your brother, let him forgive you, and then go forward. Get out of here. Go. The old you wasn't working. And that's really, really a big, big deal to master, and a hard one to master, especially when we've lost loved ones. We want to stay where our loved ones were. We don't want to move forward. And if we're on the precipice of losing some loved ones, we sure don't want to move forward and lose our last times to be with them. But you know what? You can actually take them with you. You can talk to them and say, let's just say we're talking about Benny, and say, Benny, what do you think you're going to experience on the other side? You might trigger something in Benny's mind that he's already thought about but didn't really want to share with you because he thought it would make you sad. What about sharing it? What about sharing the new opportunities that can exist in transition? And the bottom line on that is that life never dies. Yes, our bodies get recycled. They go back to the earth. We're told that it was intentional in the Bible that our bodies be recycled. There's nothing that says the soul's going to be recycled. Nothing. Actually, we're told again and again, the soul is the immortal part of you. So, how about spending more time with your soul? I think that's a good idea, a really, really good idea. Your soul is the one part of you that can actually traverse the many layers of life. And if you've lost a little bit of life in one area, the soul can find new life in another area. In other words, your soul, I don't mean to sound silly, but your soul is kind of like a fly that always knows where the sugar is. And it always knows where to take you to get you the life you need, to get you the blessings you need. Just be the soul that you are and acknowledge and honor the life you've lived and the body you inhabited while you were living it. Take care of that body because you still got it. And when it comes time to say goodbye, well, that's going to be a monumental shift for you that you're not ready for. So take care of your body. Be healthy. Enjoy the fact that you've got it as long as you have. But be aware of the fact that it's not going to be the source of your enlightenment and not much even the source of your pleasure. When we're young, yes, it is so much because all these wonderful things we can do with it. We can dive on the deep end of the pool and swim across the pool. How much fun is that? We can get on jet skis. You know, we can even jump out of airplanes. We have fun when we're young. Our bodies have fun with us because they love being young. Okay. And as we get older, bodies just need to be, pardon me, they just need to be cared for, honored, respected, and enjoyed in all the pleasant ways. Okay. Well, Nancy, I think we need to pull somebody in from the board. We've got several people who've been waiting to talk.
We sure do. And I just love that message, Glenda, of hope. It's just beautiful. So thank you for bringing that to us today. Everyone is enjoying this day today, get together, I can tell. We have Elizabeth's line open. Hi, Elizabeth. You're there.
Hi, Nancy. Hi, Glenda. Again, you just hit the nail on the head with what you said, which applies to my life. Again, you're magnificent. I've just been in bed sick for a week, and I'm just coming out today. Is my first day up, and everything you said about the body just made perfect sense to me. I think I've been releasing a lot of old energy and old stuff's been coming out of me, and I just needed to rest, and that happened. And I'm grateful that I did get sick, because that's exactly what I needed to do, is to lie down. And I'm grateful I've got the understanding that that was what was happening to me. And I'm feeling so much better and clearer and cleaner in my mind today. It's a bit like a miracle. So everything you just said made perfect sense to me. So gratitude for that. And I'd just like to ask for continued healing. I've just got the dregs of what was going on with me, a bad cold flu-like thing, but it's all come. The worst is over, and now I need to look after my body and eat and drink the right things and all of that. And I would like to ask for a blessing for my friend Juliet Herman. She and her boss are having difficulties, and I won't go into it. Yeshua knows all about it, and I would just ask for a blessing for Juliet and her boss, Judy, that they will work through the energy, the difficult energy that they're having between each other at the moment, and that there will be a good outcome for both of them, and that Juliet, if it's in her highest good, will keep her job and everything will work out. Just a lot of just loving angels around both of them. That's what I'm asking for. Loving, understanding, healing angels, because Juliet's quite hurt at the moment and just needs a lot of love. So that's what I'm asking for, Juliet. And I would also ask for a blessing for my brother Hugh and his whole family. They're moving and there's a lot of upheaval. And his niece Jessica broke both her ankles last week and is totally immobilized, and that's made it very difficult for, a little bit of a disastrous thing. So I just ask for the healing that needs to be in my brother and his family, the all of them that are there in the move that's happening. And lastly, I would just ask for love for the planet and our leaders, and just that all the leaders of all the countries in the world would just open their hearts and let the same loving angels in, so minds could be changed and that we could embrace each other and understand each other and know that all of us just need love. We don't need to fight anymore about anything. There's enough for everyone, that the angels would just come and touch the leader of every country in the world and to open their hearts into more love, understanding, tolerance, and awareness and caring for everybody else on the planet, in every country in the planet. That's what I'm asking for.
That is a great prayer and one that we all ideally want to see. The chances are very good, however, that the real solution lies in our next generation. Mm-hmm. We have a new generation coming on, and they have access to knowledge we do not have. And they have access to guidance we do not have. And they're going to find intelligence and love and inspiration of leadership that we do not have. What is going on globally, worldwide, and you know I do not get into politics on this, but globally, worldwide, we are in an era that's decaying. It's an old world decaying. And exactly. In a state of decay, the meat stinks. Let's put
exactly
it that way.
Glenda.
And the flies come. The meat stinks and the flies come. But we have much to be hopeful about. And we'll get through it, and we have to, I think we've got to rise above this instead of digging into it as if there are answers there. There aren't. If you look at the whole history of our culture, planet, Western civilization, China, Asia, we're all at the end of a phase that began about 2,000 years ago. And this is why so many people are expecting Yeshua to return. The one thing I feel about that is that he will not return and usurp the right of a new generation to first emerge and offer some of their leadership and inspiration and guidance to the picture. When he came before, he actually entered into a phase in the history of Israel that was ready for change. It was ready to lead forward. They were tired of persecution. They were not wanting to cooperate with Rome. They were stagnant. And they were breaking into very, very many different sectors of belief. I think there were about 26 different major sectors of belief at the time he came. So they were really, really ready for something new, for something to burst forth. And I personally do not believe that Yeshua is coming in our lifetime, but soon. I do believe it soon. But I think he's going to give a new generation a chance to do their thing and prepare the ground. That's my prophecy.
Yes. And could I just add, then after you've said that, blessings and loving angels come to all the new leaders that are coming up who are going to have the new ideas and the new answers with science for our ecology and everything. Blessings for them as well.
Amen.
For the new new people coming up who are going to...
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank
really
you, Glenda.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Nancy.
Oh, wow. This is wonderful. Thank you so much, Elizabeth. Glenda, we're going to open another line. We have Susan here. Hi, Susan.
Hey, Stephen. Hi, Nancy. Hi, Glenda. Oh, God,
hey.
I feel like I should wait forever. But I want to share. I was just going to listen. I wound up having a lot. It was planned to have eye surgery. But if I knew I was going to have it like the day after a holiday, you know, I planned this in March and I wasn't thinking. And it was crazy because the day I came home, you know, from the beach, the very next day I was doing the operation thing. So in a way you could say it distracted me being with the family and the, you know, the holiday and all from any fear, you know, that might build in me and apprehension, you know, about doing the surgery. So that actually, it was okay. So I just want to share something interesting, though. I was prepping this, a room. This is like the third eye surgery, so I'm getting to be a real pro at this. And there's this room that they prep you in. And I noticed that I wasn't afraid. And I thought that was interesting, you know, because normally I would get very, you know, and then this time I had a male anesthesiologist. And I wasn't afraid, so I noticed that he had some crappy energy. I mean, it was evident. He was filling out papers, but it was like, it was anger. It was just a lot of negativity. And I noticed this, and normally I was like, oh, please take care of me, that kind of thing. I wasn't into that. I just observed what was going on with him. And I had to go to the bathroom. Which, you know, I figured I'm getting ready. I want to go to the bathroom before I get taken in, so forth. And he called me when I got out of the bathroom, and I didn't think he was necessarily talking to me because he was in a different room. And he said, follow me, and I thought he was talking to somebody else. And he said it by the third time. He was really mad. And he goes, follow me. God. Really. So, you know, I thought I must have had such a presence of mind because why only Yeshua and God would have had this come out of my mouth. He was, I didn't know where he was from, so I wound up saying, where are you from? And he goes, Ukraine. I said, oh, okay. What's your name? I mean, you know, how many people talk like that? And he goes, Igor. I said, what does it mean? He goes, the greatest. So I said, are you the greatest? He goes, yes, I am. And he starts laughing. And I knew in that moment what I did. I knew what I did. And that's what so much of what I'm called to do. But what surprised me is that I was in a state of mind to do it. Not that to be getting ready for surgery and do that. I'm like, what? That's so out of character for this girl sitting there. You know, it was. It was like, what? I thought it was, I observed that, and that I was able to move him around a little bit. At the end, he came over to me after the surgery and shook my hand. I knew he knew. He knew what I was doing. And I was amazed that, you know, in my usual state of paralyzation going through this, it was that I wasn't paralyzed and I was able to do something, you know, for this guy before the surgery. I wanted to share anything, and sure enough, that popped in. I went, ah, I guess you want me to share. So, going to share that.
That is great, Susan. Thank you so much for sharing that. And, you know, he may have family, friends in Ukraine that are going through this immense hardship. So who knows what he was upset about. You know, when we go through life and we see people misbehave by our standards, we would say that's misbehaving, but you have no idea what's going on in their life.
But you made a connection, and that really matters.
Yeah.
And I heard something around, even for a moment, what a gift that is. And that's what I was told. What a gift that is. And at a time when I would have been normally, I'll be honest, more self-involved, and I wasn't. I was amazed.
It helped you. That's look at the intelligence. Getting back to, you've got to have life in order to be illuminated. You got new life by doing what you did, and that new life probably helped you through the surgery.
And it was a real. It was difficult because it was a different kind of a cataract surgery because we wanted to save as much corneal cells because I have corneal issues. Oh, my God. I had to just breathe through it. It was all laser or something. Felt like this machine was going beyond my eye and into my – it was crazy. But, you know, the outcome is good, but I had to tell the doctor the next day. I said, oh, my God. I mean, the other ones were so different than this one. He was kind of surprised. He said, well, you didn't make any noise. I said, yeah, but by the end, I did say, are we almost done? you know, it was crazy. So that was that.
Well, I remember you. Blessings for your eye. Which eye is it?
My left. My left. It's really, the outcome is really becoming beautiful for that.
Yeah.
So, awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, God is with you.
Definitely. And
always. Always. Thank you, Susan. We're so glad you're with us today. Glenda, we have another caller here. We have, I believe, this is Nancy from Austin.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Nancy. How are you doing? Anyway, I just wanted to say myself and my sister are doing really well right now. She hasn't gone down to MD Anderson yet. She's trying to get everything settled here and then they'll go down. And then, so right now at this moment, we are doing very, very well. And I am grateful to the spirit, to all that is, to getting my lawnmower started and things like that. Please help me keep repairing things. I have a client that is very structurally oriented. He'll bring up, you know, whenever I sit there and I go, you know, or, you know, very, when I bring up what I've learned from Glenda and from Jeshua and mostly from Jeshua, he brings up things from the Bible a lot of things from the Bible. Mm-hmm. I am not a Bible scholar. I've never, you know, I just know what I feel in my heart, which is I look for kindness and love and things like that. And he wants structure. And it seems like, and so I gave, and but he was having trouble with structure because it's not giving him everything that he wants or needs. And so I once again brought up love without end. And so, please God be with me.
What happened?
A structurally oriented person into the discussion of, you know, the heart is a good thing. Feelings are good.
Yeah, thanks.
Look for kindness. It's right now, so far, it's beyond him.
Well,
anyway, just be with
him. Let me just say one. Let me kind of back up on this conversation. People live in boxes when they're afraid. Okay. And when people are afraid, you've got to be very, very careful how you introduce new ideas. When somebody is that afraid, you've got to drip feed them. And in ways they don't even recognize as being out of the box. First of all, I would recommend that you be a little more positive about the Bible. It has been misused by a lot of people. It has been misused to dominate people. In other words, somebody who quotes something from the Bible is the one who's right, who wins the argument. It's been weaponized. And what has been done to the Bible is what a lot of people are trying to do with our country. They're trying to weaponize it. So it makes those of us who could be the brunt of that weapon dislike it. But the fact is, it has ushered in more.
It's beautiful, beautiful stuff. Yeah.
It's what?
It's beautiful things, beautiful writing, beautiful things. But it has been weaponized,
It has been. Well, it's true. It is probably the most ancient, coherent body of truth in the world. Okay. And people who are very afraid of life lean on it, and they feel insulted and threatened if you don't respect it. So I would encourage you, even if you don't want to read it, respect it for the benefit of other people, for the benefit of those people who have based their life on it. My mother was pretty typical in that regard. She was born into virtually a pioneer family, Pentecostal, very, very Bible reading. She had probably read the Bible 80 times. She knew everything. She could cite everything, chapter and verse. And you couldn't get around her on the Bible. She'd get you. She would get you. And I didn't like that about it. But, you know, I noticed how much wisdom and how much intelligence my mother had, even though she had not been to a university, not even stepped in the front door of a university, except for my graduation service. She was filled with wisdom, intelligence, and most of all, life. And one of the days I was thinking about her, and I saw how much life she got from that book. And a lot of people, see, the thing is, you don't see what other people are getting from it. For it to study the Bible for approximately 4,000 years, maybe longer if you trace back the oldest books, it's got to be producing a lot of life in a lot of people.
And it's very central to our Western civilization. And so people honor it. They respect it. And then they distrust something that they see as weaponized against the Bible. Oh, well, I've got this new thing that's better than the Bible.
I see this as the Bible being reinterpreted into something more modern and into something that is more loving than but what we know as the Bible. Yeah, I see that. I have a lot
Amen.
Of thinking to do.
I'm with you on that, baby. I'm giving you their viewpoint because their viewpoint
right.
is all that matters to them. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so
yeah.
if you want, you know, you can't come against people who are just, the Bible is everything to them. You cannot. If you can't accept it, get a new client.
Right.
You're not
going
to change them.
Often, okay. I just let them fall asleep. Usually in the massage,
That's
I just
okay.
let them fall asleep.
That's perfect.
I'm going to be singing again. I have to get my mouth working. Bottom lip is not working as fast as it used to, but I'll be singing again with the Wimberley Chorus during the 4th of July concert with the chorus and band. So
Wonderful.
Be with me, guys, as I go traveling to Wimberley every week.
Oh, I love that sound.
And as
love
we
it.
Sing and play and have a good time. So.
Well,
awesome.
God bless you and all that you do, dear. You're a very special spark of light.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank
you, everybody.
Have
Thanks,
a great
guys.
Rest of your day. You bet. Nancy, we have another Nancy, Glenda. We have Nancy Lopez. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, how are y'all doing this afternoon? Wonderfully, I hope. I wanted to tell you what happened to me this week and some others that was wonderful. I told you last week that my friend Anna Jay, who had been in the hospital and rehabilitation since February, she finally came home with her daughter. All of that went wonderfully. And I was trying to think, what could we do that would really be a gift for them that they would enjoy? So I asked if they would like to go to a tea room that's in our area. And they did. So I called and I explained to the owner what had happened to Anna Jay and that this was something really special because she's just starting to do things. She still has to use a rolling walker with a seat, and she's not completely healed. So I explained, and we went, and the tea room owner just did the most beautiful tea for us. It was a true blessing. We enjoyed every minute of it. And I had thought, well, we'll get that as a blessing. But then as we were finishing up, the owner said, Nancy, I really don't want to bill you for this tea because I want to give it as a gift to Anna Jay. And that's what she did. It was such a loving, kind, generous thing. And so often on the phone call, we talk about problems. But I expected the blessing of a nice tea, but I even got more of a blessing than I thought because the owner was so kind and loving to my friend. So it was great. Expect a blessing, and it will bloom up into something even better.
Exactly. And that's what we need to do more of is expect the blessings.
Envision them. Yeah. Envision what a blessing would actually look like.
Oh, I was envisioning a beautiful tea, but I never envisioned that it would be a gift. Wow.
Yeah, well, she got caught up in the spirit, too. You know,
yeah, she really did. She has a loving heart, doesn't she?
Yeah.
So generous and kind.
Yeah.
It was just wonderful. I don't want to take up any more time, but I did want to share that wonderful moment and let everybody know there are people out there who are just waiting to be a blessing for someone else. And
absolutely.
We need to look for them and expect it.
Yes, exactly. And there's so much negativity being pummeled around us that we just kind of pull back and pull away from what's going on in the world and don't look for the beauty that's there. So let's go on an Easter egg hunt, everybody, looking for the blessing.
Yes. Exactly,
yes,
because they are out there. And this past week reminded me, yes, they are. So I bless everybody on the call today, and I hope each of you can find a wonderful blessing this week.
Yes. Oh, and I'm going to build on that, Nancy. That was a great contribution. Okay, here we go. All right. All of you who are asking for a blessing, I want you to envision what it, not just keep wishing for it as something that's out there. Like, I need this. Oh Lord, I really want this. You know, I've got to be free from the anxiety. I've got to have answers. I want help with this problem. All right. Instead of what I want, I want you to see yourself inside the blessing. What is it like being inside the blessing?
That's a fun image. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it is fun.
Yes, it is.
And Nancy gave us a perfect example of what happens when you can be inside the blessing. She went to her tea knowing what it would feel like to be inside the blessing, but she didn't know yet what it would feel like to have the expanded version of the blessing.
That's right.
Yeah, you were being the blessing
for
your friend.
You brought this about, Nancy. You did.
Well, I think all of us there really did, because it was a joyful, loving, friendly. It was just, the moment was filled with grace throughout that tea, and we all participated and brought that grace. So it was wonderful.
That is wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is wonderful. I'm so
happy for
you and for Anna, and I will continue holding her in my blessings, in the blessings of Christ.
Thank you so much,
you too,
Linda.
And
I
you
so
too,
appreciate
Nancy.
It. Thank you, Nancy. Oh, thank you. I accept all the blessings I'm supposed to have. Thank you. Nobody steals blessings from someone. Thank you.
Exactly. All right. All right, dear.
Thank you, Nancy.
Well,
what a wonderful sharing. We're so glad when people share those wonderful stories. They're such powerful blessings, and we need to hear about them. So we have some time, and we have the line is open if anybody wants to just offer a sharing of another wonderful thing that's happened in their life, or if there's something that you need, or it's just really weighing on your heart. We've got some more callers, so I'm going to open up Caroline, your line. Let me see. Let's get you open there, Caroline. Hi, Caroline. True. Your line is open.
Hi. Something weird happened. I thought I'd already
press the buttons to get on, but I think it must have not worked. But thank you for inviting us to rejoin and mention blessings that we had and blessings that we would like to see happen. And I have to say I'm very blessed to have a wonderful relationship right now, and it's a source of joy for both of us. So that's terrific. And the two blessings I would like to ask for are for other folks. One is a very good friend of my younger son's, Kanha, who is from India. He's been working here for a long time, but he was let go from his job and really needs to find another one quickly, because in order to stay legally in the country, he's on one of these H1 or whatever it is type visas, and he has to find a job within a very short period of time. I think he's got to be employed before the middle of next month, which is super short. And so, you know, he wants to, you know, unlike some folks that aren't here legally, he's 100% legal. He pays his taxes. But if he doesn't get a job within that time, he's going to have to go back to India, and he's just got married, and it will be a, you know, a major disaster. So I would like to envision him in a wonderful job in the Bay Area, where he gets paid at least as well as he was before, and his wife is very happy with whatever transpires. So that's the first blessing that I would like to ask for Kanha. That's his name.
Things, so I can add that to the prayer. What kind of work is he looking for?
He's in tech. He does project. I think it's project management type stuff. But he's very good. He's very good at what he does. He's worked for Autodesk, Glassdoor, all kinds of those kinds of companies. But he does need to find something really fast that is a good job for him. I mean, I don't think people realize how difficult it is. If you want to be here legally and do things right, there are a lot of hoops you have to jump through. So that's mm-hmm. obviously what he wants to do. The other blessing is for my older son, who is he really needs to find somewhere to live here on Maui. He's been temporarily staying with me every so often, but he really needs to move into a good place, especially now his wife is expecting a baby. So I would like a blessing for a wonderful place to materialize for him to mm-hmm. stay in. He has a good job. He would be a good tenant for anyone. So I'm just visualizing that, because he needs to really find his own space and have everything work well for his family. Yeah.
Yes. Is that his first baby?
Yes. I don't think he's got a clue what it's going to be like, to be honest, you know, but it's going to be interesting.
He probably doesn't.
Yeah. So
that's a landmine of love, but it's still a landmine.
Oh yes. So anyway, those are the two blessings I would like to request, and I would like to thank Jeshua for all the blessings that have already been have come to fruition, because there have been plenty of those. As we all know, we all have plenty of things to be grateful for.
I'm sure it is.
Oh, yeah.
Especially knowing you, Glenda. Sure, that's a big. That's a and having had access to your work and the book and all of that. I mean, that's a lot mm-hmm. to be grateful for.
Amen.
Oh, thank you so much, Carolyn, and thanks so much for your generosity to the church and for the work that we do.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Carolyn. We're going to open up another line. I believe we have Stormy here.
Oh, hello. I received I missed you last Sunday. The city of Emory went out of electricity for a while, like it does on Sunday when they do their repair work. But, you know, you spoke of honey a couple of weeks ago, and I received a special blessing from the bees. For Monday, my housekeeper brought me right off the hive, not more than 2 hours done, fresh honey, locally grown here in this neck of the woods. That's a very, very special blessing, as you spoke of it, I received. And I've had honeybees bounce off of my face when they come up and say, I want to talk about something to somebody, but they bounce off my face and say, no, be quiet on that matter for now. Or if I want to do a spiritual walk in the woods, I'll have honeybees bounce off of my face and say, not today, another day. And so I have a very unique connection with the honeybees that come and just speak with me.
That's really sweet. Yeah, well, you are a honeybee.
Yeah, I tell Jackie, yeah, I tell everybody it's a Jackie Gleason thing. How sweet it is.
How sweet it is, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, thank you, Stormy.
Special
we miss
blessing.
You. Yeah,
yeah,
we miss
yeah.
you.
I got stuck
if
in this.
Is there a special blessing you would like it?
When electricity goes off, my electric chair, it don't work. So I was stuck. And luckily my brother came over and got me out of the chair. But I've got a battery backup for it now, so I'm just receiving all the blessings that I need.
Okay. Well, we love you, Stormy, and we wish you always.
I'm excited about Wimberley, Texas. Paul Simon went to live in Wimberley, Texas.
Yeah, he did.
Simon and Garfunkel. And, of course, my friend Sybil is down there. And Wimberley, Texas is cited to be the most beautiful city in all of Texas.
I would agree with that.
And I've been through there many, many times. It's just really.
I would live there for sure if I could afford it.
It was way out in the country, but I'm just thankful to receive that special blessing about the honey the very next day after you spoke of it. Now, isn't that being in the blessing?
Hello?
I think we lost Stormy.
We're losing you, Stormy.
Okay, that's all right. Next then.
Okay. Do we have someone else, Nancy?
No, we are clear, Glenda.
Okay, then I'm going to take over. All right, because I've got an announcement, and I've got a few things to say that sparked. I got a little tap on the head, I think, from Yeshua about something that was said at one point to build on it. And it's what Carolyn said about her son finding the right place. You know, what has been coming to me as I prepare to get back to writing, and I am actually going to resume writing this week. So, blessing givers, bless this work that it shall blossom and flourish and come to completion. This is a book that the world needs. It's called The Only Way Out Is Up, which goes along a little bit with the very things we've been discussing today, is that as life begins to decay, it goes down. New life comes in from a higher level, descending upon the earth, descending upon our congregation of humanity. And it was just a Walmart delivery at the door. I'm sorry about that. Descending upon humanity. So we look up, kind of like the scripture. I look up to the mountains where I find my presence with God. And it's a very, very moving thing to look up. But the whole idea of looking up can't just be a generality. It's not just something that you look at the sky and say, well, what's up there? No, it has to be your place to look up, your blessing from on high, your life, that new life that is descending for you. And it's even true in the world. My goodness, the last 3 years presented me with a lot of issues of relocation. And I looked and looked for places. Most of them didn't feel right. And the minute I found the one that felt right, I didn't know how I was going to do it. But when I found the right place, everything I needed was provided. So there's something very miraculous about finding your right place. And it's whether it's the right place of employment, the right place of thinking, the right place ideologically, the right place geographically. When you find the right place, the answers will come. And that was Yeshua's message back to some of the messages that were generated by several of you today. And I've received two or three comments, actually three comments, on Nancy sharing about the Tea Party. Everybody loves that, Nancy. I think it opened up a vision of how life could just be a little more beautiful, a little more genteel, more loving, friendly, and celebrative. One of the things that I have always admired so much about the Japanese culture is how they can create a celebration around a cup of tea. They prepare the tea carefully and correctly. People coming to the sharing of tea protect themselves with cleanliness and perhaps a little bit nicer dress. They come to celebrate the moment. They're coming together to be in a place together. This is what we do on Sunday, coming to the blessing call. We come together to be together in the presence of Yeshua, as he said to his disciples, whenever two or more of you come in my name, I am there. And he is here. He's always here. And he responds to me. Sometimes he'll tap me on the shoulder, or I'll feel this little knock on my head, like, did you get that idea? And I'll say, how about repeating it? That's because I was paying so much attention to who was calling. But the right place, the right idea, the right person. Long time ago, I was getting ready for surgery, a hip replacement, and I kept delaying it. And my doctor said, why are you delaying it? I said, I'm delaying it for the right, find the right person. And he said, they're all good. It's something. And I said, well, they may all be good, but they're not all going to get the job done for me. I have to have the right person in order to know that I've made the right connection and that I'm getting what I need. Well, that sounded a little bit mystified to my doctor, and he said, well, okay. Finally, when I found the doctor I wanted, he said, well, you and everybody else want her. I said, well, if it's the right person, I'll have it. It's all right. Don't worry about it. And he said, well, just call and try to get an appointment. You'll be out a year or two. I called, got an appointment the next week. I went to see her. She just had a cancellation 2 weeks out. And she said, well, before anybody else knows about it, I'll just slip you in. When I finally told my primary care physician about it, he said, what are you made of? Gold bricks? Did you buy that? And I said, no. I just went to the right person at the right time in the right place. So I'm just communicating this to you because a lot of the difficulties we have are because we're trying to make something work that is not destined to work. We're not supposed to be somewhere. We're not supposed to be in a particular job. But we stay there because we say, well, but I've got to have money to pay the rent. Well, of course you do. But while you're paying the rent, you could be looking somewhere else. And finding the right place is so, so important. Finding the right person for friendship, for marriage, a very significant decision, for just companionship, for medical service, for work, for an employee, for working with you. Finding the right person makes all the difference in everything. It's got to be the right. Yeshua reminded the apostles on at least one occasion, I think it was more than one, he said, you did not choose me, I chose you. And he chose each one of them for exactly what they would do to provide for his message and the world and generations to come. Every single one of them was chosen rightly and appropriately. When you choose the right teacher, when you choose the right student, miracles happen. And I have never, ever seen that to be untrue. Never. I've never had an exception to it. And most of the time, when we're working too hard to make something work, there's something inappropriate about it for us because you're not generating enough life to provide the answers. When you're doing the right thing, and that's also in the chapter called The Secret to Success, when you're doing the right thing, there will be life. And then you follow life and the living. I had a little epiphany this last week about what I'm doing right now in relation to my service to God, my service to Yeshua. And that was part of why I know the time has now come. The time has come to get back to writing. I can do it finally. I'm in the right place. I've gone through all of the issues that had to be dealt with, surmounted all of the barriers, and risen above all the hurdles. I'm here. The time is right. So it will work perfectly now. And I was also thinking about where are all of us in relation to our search for knowledge, for truth, for where to go and where to navigate. And I thought, you know, it's all in Love Without End. It's all there. The answers to everything that's going on in the world. That's why he gave me the message to publish. And I thought, you know, I'm not doing as much with that as I could. And I decided that every Sunday from now on, we're going to focus on one particular passage and we're going to milk it. We're going to focus on, I will pick a passage that I think is extremely relevant for the day and the moment, what's going on in the world, what we're experiencing in life and so forth. And I'll send it to you in our Sunday invitation to the blessing. I'll send you what that passage is. And in case you didn't get it, I will read it to you at the start of our call. We're going to focus on that book for a little while. Maybe it might be a good thing forever. I don't know. I'll feel my way through it. At some point, we may switch to the new book and when it's ready to be released. But we're going to do that because he's already given us all the answers. Mm-hmm. And we should be studying. What do you think, Nancy?
I just love it. Yay. This is great. And okay. It'll just sustain everyone each week, you know, and build on it. Yeah, everything's in there. You're right. It's just all there.
It is. It's all there. And it's, you know, we just have to be mindful. And if any of you want to offer a suggestion based on what you feel is most important going on in the world, in our shared life, just send it to askablessing@christblessing.com, where you would normally ask for a blessing. Send me your idea. You got ideas? I'll take them into consideration. I'll run them by the big guy first, and because he's probably got ideas about what needs to come next. But why don't we just share? And we'll choose one, like I said, and we'll milk it. So we go deep and we go broad. How many ways could it be applied? How many levels does it apply to? So, and I think that's going to be a bright new light we can share with one another. Okay? So
yes.
now that we are back beyond the 4 o'clock, line, I thought it was important to share that because it's something we all need. And let's get on with our blessing. And we'll just kind of do a short version of the preamble, but I want you to take a really deep breath and cleanse everything you were thinking about. Take a breath in, fill your lungs, spread your ribs, lower your diaphragm, and also fill your sinus cavities. Just take air everywhere it could go, okay? Hold it for a few seconds, and then blow it out. Okay. Again. In. Fill, fill, fill. In, fill, fill. Hold it. Blow it out. Now, take your hands, your fingers, your arms, whatever body part will move to a full extent. Stretch it. Move it around. The whole purpose is not to do calisthenics. It's about to get flow moving in your body. You're going to be bringing in a lot of high frequency energy. And for some of you, it might make you want to dance. But for most of you, it's something you will feel, but not necessarily get up and walk and dance. You just feel it because it feels good. And it's got to move. So it has to move through all the cells of your body. Come in through your head, and it will come in through your feet. So have your feet there. On the ground, this is why I actually prefer you to be in a seating position rather than standing. But standing will work if you prefer that. It will work. The only thing is during the blessing, you may feel like super relaxed, like you need to sit down, because it kind of melts the tension out of your body. This is why some people, when they are touched or blessed by the Holy Spirit, they just literally fall to the ground, because it flushes the tension so completely out of your body. So the safest place to be is seated. And I would be, except for the fact that I'm conducting the blessing, and we do that standing. But your feet on the ground, so you're pulling up from the earth, your head pointed toward the heavens. Not necessarily toward the sun, but toward whatever is above the point where you are. Okay. Now, just continue breathing mindfully, like our four square breaths. Breathe in. Pause. Exhale. Pause. Inhale. Pause. Exhale. Pause. Now, why for this? Because it's life. Breath is life. And for you to be breathing mindfully during the coming of your blessing can expand, enrich, and multiply your blessing. Continue that until I offer my invocation to Yeshua. And then during the giving of the blessing, offer your prayer to Yeshua. The reason for your prayer, when you've already asked for the blessing, is because it makes you a powerful receiver to the energy of the Holy Spirit, which is bringing a blessing uniquely for you, not like to any other person, any other place, for any other reason, uniquely for you. Dear Yeshua, Lord of life, Son of God, perfect brother to us all, the one who unifies us despite all of our diversity and our sometimes difficulty, we ask that you unify us, that you bring union into our midst, for union, perfect union, is with God, and perfect union with God is love. We pray for this union and for the peace that it brings us all. We pray that we may receive and know a full measure of your love, for you loved us enough to risk the loss of your life, but were reborn in the fullness of life, because you are life. You are the Lord of life. We ask that you bring more life into our lives, and that you show us where to look for more life as we go through the days and the weeks ahead, that we are drawn like a moth would be to the light, but we are drawn to life, that we seek it, we discover it, we savor life, and we bring that life into our situations, our problems, and our joys, that everything may be lifted up to a higher level of understanding, of grace, and of connection with our Heavenly Father. At this moment, we ask that you hear our prayers and that you grant blessings to that which we seek and need so much. And that you take us to that inner place where the blessing already exists. For we cannot know what we're missing unless we already have it. Let us find it. As we do that, we rest in your peace and your glory. And then we ask for others. Will you please bless the children? Bless those who are suffering, that they may find a greater peace and they may find their healing. We ask that you be in places of trouble and turmoil, that those within those places may find unity and resolution and a way to live together productively and beneficially, to bring betterment in every way of their life. We ask this in your precious and holy name. Amen. Blessing givers, will you rise and join me now in offering the blessing?
Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, I want you to just be in receivership of the blessings. And you do that, well, initially, and then lay down, running flat, nothing above anything else, okay, horizontal, not even propping up in bed, flat, or on a mat, on the yard, wherever you can get flat, so that you're in a position of complete surrender. It's not you writing the blessing. The will of God will write your blessing. So, receive abundantly. Expect immensely. And enjoy the grace of God that pours upon you. Amen.